Okay, if you could turn over to the book of Ephesians and just stick your finger in it for now. We'll be travelling through the book of Ephesians for this morning's study. And let's just pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you. We thank and praise you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness towards us. We thank you, Lord, for your love that you've shown us. We thank you that you've given your Son, Jesus Christ, to us, Lord. That in him we could be redeemed. That in him we have a glorious future. A future with you. And Lord, we ask that you'd be with us this morning as we reflect upon the person of Jesus Christ. And may he really impact upon our hearts, Lord, and change us into the image of him whom you sent. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've called this message, What If Jesus Hadn't Come? And it's basically a set of reflections, my own reflections, I guess. And I'm hoping that as we go through, that you would kind of understand where I'm coming from in my reflections, that you would also maybe be able to identify with me in some of these reflections. Now, these reflections didn't just come about just by me bing, having ideas like that just popping into my head. It actually came from numerous visits, I guess, to the bathroom, going to and fro from the office and what have you, because this is on the wall outside our bathroom. As we go up the stairs, you'd see it if you come into our house and use the bathroom. If you go up into use the office, you'll pass it. And it's one of those things that you look at it quite often, you sometimes read it, and it's like, oh yeah. And it doesn't really, really sink in. You know, I've read it so many times, it's untrue. But it wasn't until the other day when I really read it, and I took it off the wall and read it again, that these truths really began to sink into me, sink into my heart, and make me reflect upon the person of Christ. And I've called this study, What If Christ Hadn't Come? Because if he hadn't come, so many things, not just in our world, but so many things in our lives personally, would be completely and utterly different. I'm just going to read this to you. It's called One Solitary Life. Let me see if I can. All right. One Solitary Life, it's called. I don't know who it's written by. It hasn't got a name to it. And I probably won't bother to try and find out either, but this is what it says. It says, he was born in an obscure village. He worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a house. He didn't go to college. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the public turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies and went through a mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing. He was laid in a borrowed grave. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the figure of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life. Well, that's what got me thinking. And it's We could ask the question, what would our world be like without Jesus? And, you know, this Jesus that we're talking about this morning, he had such an impact on the world. And I'm not just talking about us personally, but the world in general. I mean, it had a huge impact on the religious systems and how religion is made up today, the amount of Christians that there are today. Has an impact on, he was so important that he had an impact on how we measure time, whether it was BC or AD, before Christ or in the year of our Lord. How many charities have been founded by those who are Christians? You know, hospitals being built by Christians, care homes and stuff like that. You know, so many things that have happened wouldn't have happened if he had not walked this earth. And how many people would still be in the dark if he had not walked this earth? Now, the question that I pose to myself, and it's something that I would like you all to pose to yourselves as well while we look at this, is what would our, or what would your world be like without Jesus? Now, this is where it gets personal, where the truth of Jesus Christ isn't just about history, isn't just about documented facts. It's more about how Jesus has changed your world on a personal level. Now, for me, the first thing that has changed is my understanding of God. Before Jesus came to me in a personal way, my understanding of God was not the true God. My understanding of God was more like, okay, I believe there's something out there. I believe there's a higher being out there. But that's all it was. It wasn't personal. I didn't know him. I didn't know what he was like. Not really. And even though I tried to understand God, even though I tried to please God and live a way that would be pleasing to God in my own effort, before Jesus Christ had become a reality to me, I had no understanding of God. And I would not understand his faithfulness. I would not understand the promises that he'd made and the promises that he's kept and the promises that he's keeping. That starts way back in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, in Genesis 3:15, when God says, do you know what? I am going to put enmity between the seed of woman and your seed. When he was talking to Satan, he was saying that he is going to deal with Satan. Satan who deceived Adam, well, deceived Eve, and then Adam brought sin into this world by taking the fruit offered to his wife. But God made a promise, and he made that promise that he would deal with that. I would not have understood those things. I would not have understood the fullness of God's love. Have a look in Ephesians 3:16-18. And it says, I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. I really would not have understood the depths of God's love if it weren't for Christ being made real to me. I would understand, yes, that God exists, but not what he's done, not what he's doing for me through Christ. Romans 5:8 says this. It says, I'll start at verse 7. It says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. This Christ, this Jesus, Son of God, God incarnate, who walked this earth, he gave his life for me while I was still a sinner. That is such a deep, wide and high love that I couldn't grasp before. Before I put my faith in Jesus Christ and his cross and his blood, I understood that he died. I understood that he had risen again. But I didn't understand what that would mean to me personally. But I do now. And when I reflect upon that love that God has for me, that love where God sent his only Son to live a perfect life, the life that I could not live, to be mocked, to be beaten, to be crucified and to die the most horrible death on my behalf, just so that I could be saved, just so that I could be forgiven and I could have relationship with him. That kind of love is very difficult to understand until Christ is real in your heart, until Christ is your everything. So, you know, this Christ, this Jesus, who had such an impact on the world, has shown me who God really is. Before Jesus, I would have thought, you know what, God is just a far-off person. Doesn't really have any dealings to do with mankind, doesn't really have any dealings to do with me. Does he care about me? I don't know, would have been my answer at that time. But seeing what he'd done for me, but seeing what was accomplished on my behalf through his Son Jesus Christ shows me more about God's love than I would ever have known without Christ, without Jesus. You know, Jesus says, you say, show me the Father. And he was talking about himself. Look at me. All that compassion that Jesus showed, all that love, all that faithfulness, that's what God is. Jesus Christ was and is God. And without him, I would never have understood who God really is. To me, he would have just been a far-off entity that had no effect on my life apart from Christ. The second truth that I found is that if Jesus hadn't come, I wouldn't know how God really feels about me personally. If you read through many books of the Old Testament, just taken from the perspective of just reading, You may think, well, it's harsh in some instances. You know, a bit unkind at times. Maybe not fair at times. But until we have a grasp of who Christ is, until we know Christ personally, we don't really understand how God feels about us. Oh, I certainly didn't really understand how God felt about me. I really didn't understand God's plans for me. I didn't really understand that God had me in mind before the creation of the world. I really didn't understand that God had chosen me before he set the foundations of the earth. And that is something that is so awesome. And it says in Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 5, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." He predestined us for adoption. Wow. Do you know what? There are or have been few people in my life who I would have thought, do you know, if you needed to be adopted, I would adopt you. There have been very, very many people in my life that I thought to myself, if you needed to be adopted, I would send you to someone else. You know, God didn't have to choose me at all, but he did. And the fact that he chose me in Christ before creation is just... isn't it? He chose me to be predestined to be adopted as his son. Now, the way about this sonship came about was only through Christ. It was only through my belief that he was the Son of God, who came to earth, who died for my sins, and it was through him that I could be adopted into God's family. But it's amazing to think that God had me in his mind. That is how much he cares and he loves me personally. I would never have known that without Christ. Never would I have known that without Jesus Christ if he had not come. Hebrews, let me just read Hebrews 2:17. It says this. If I can find it. It says, where am I? Here it is. "For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." In order for us to be adopted into God's family, Jesus had to be made like us. Had to be made like us in order that he may be, or he might become merciful, meaning God might become merciful and faithful. And Christ would be that faithful high priest. And that he might make atonement for our sins. Christ, or Jesus, who is God, who was around from eternity past, who will be around to eternity future, took it upon himself to clothe himself in flesh to be made like us, so that he could pay the price for what I've done wrong, for the sins that I've committed. How amazing is that? That God himself would do that, to take on my sins so that I can be restored to him. That's amazing, isn't it? To think that God or Jesus would come and do that on my behalf. Because there's nothing perfect, nothing lovely about me. I was a sinner, still am. I'm sinning less, but still sinful. And God loves me that much that he would come and die for me. So, I wouldn't understand God if it wasn't for Jesus. I wouldn't know what God looked like. I wouldn't understand his faithfulness and his love for me. And I really wouldn't understand how he felt about me. How deep his love is for me, that he would die for me. Another thing that I wouldn't have known if it weren't for Christ is my inheritance. Ephesians 1, verse 11 says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. And then moving on to verse 13, says, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, and you were marked in him with a seal and the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. This is talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Without Christ, without Jesus, there would be no ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is given to us for various reasons, to empower us, to bring us into the light so that we could have more understanding of who God is and what God wants and expects from us. But it's also a deposit which guarantees our inheritance. In other words, once you've believed on Christ for your salvation, the Holy Spirit, which is given to you, Christ indwelling you, is that guarantee of the inheritance. It's that guarantee that not only are we saved, but we're also saved to a glorious future. That we're saved to be with Christ, with God, in heaven when he comes to redeem his church. Without Jesus, I would not have had that guarantee. I would have not have had that Holy Spirit in me, dwelling in me, teaching me these things, these truths, and guaranteeing me my place with God the Father and God the Son. I would not have had these things. It just goes to show that without Christ, so many things in my world would have been so different. I would not have that peace. Before understanding or before knowing Christ, I didn't have peace. I couldn't have peace. I had no guaranteed. I did kind of believe in God. I kind of believed there's heaven and hell. But there was no guarantee for me. There was no guarantee that I would be one of God's people, that I would be with him and not in hell. And just before I came to saving knowledge of Christ, that was something, that was a big issue for me. That was a real big issue for me, because I would try to please God. I'd read through the Bible and I'd think to myself, well, God is expecting perfect people. I'm going to have to try and live perfectly. And I couldn't. None of us can. And I had no peace. Doing things on my own strength to try and stay out of hell. But until Christ came to me personally, I had no peace about where I was going to be. But that Holy Spirit, once I'd received salvation through Christ and him giving the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that's when my peace kicked in. Knowing it's not what I do, not how perfect I am, not how brilliant I am, not if I never ever break another one of the Ten Commandments, but it's what God has done for me, and that guarantee that I am his and he is mine. Also, there's just two more things to show you. Without Jesus, I would be without hope. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." There's no hope for a corpse, is there? No hope for a corpse. If you was walking along the road and you saw a dead man, you wouldn't go over to the dead man, tap him and say, "It's going to be all right, son," would you? Because he's dead. And there's no hope for that person. You can't tell him it's going to be all right. And that was me before I came to Christ, without hope, because I was dead in my sins and transgressions. And it also says in Ephesians 2 verse 12, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." Without hope and without God in the world. That was me. God, in the Old Testament, had made these promises. He made this promise to Israel, or he made this promise to Abraham, saying that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars, and that he promised, had this glorious future for his descendants. I was no part of that before Christ. And I was without hope and without God in the world. My hope, if you can call it that, before Jesus had come to me, was in the wrong things. My hope was in that I'd make enough money. In fact, my hope was that I'd make more than enough money. My hope would be that difficult things wouldn't come into my life. My hope would be that I would father children. My hope would be all these things. But that's not real hope. And I found that out the hard way. That I was without hope and without God in the world. Because I didn't know him. I didn't know Jesus. And when the crunches came, when the hard times came, that's when my hope would fail. So much so, to the point of one day it was like, I may as well give up. And I was all ready to walk out into the sea knowing I couldn't swim. Well, I can swim a little bit, but you know what it's like. Black people don't necessarily swim that good. But yeah, because my hope was in the wrong things. My hope was in the wrong place. My hope was in the things of the world and not in God and not in Christ. It took Jesus for me to realize that actually everything is going to go. Everything is going to go. Everything is going to turn to rust if it's metal, or crumble if it's made out of brick. Money's not going to matter, so it don't matter how much money I'm going to make. Possessions aren't going to matter, so it didn't matter if I had that brand new spankling BMW, top of the range. Because all those things are a false hope. And it wasn't until Jesus came to me in a personal way that I actually realized that I was putting my hope in the wrong things. And when difficulties came, man, did my hope fail. But because of Jesus, I do have a hope. I have a hope of a bright and glorious future forever. Not just for today, not just while we're on this earth. And that hope that I have now is not going to fail. It's not going to fail. It's something that is so sure and secure because it is in the right person. And it's not in things of the world. Do you know what? If it wouldn't matter if I had nowhere to live today. It wouldn't matter if I had no money. It wouldn't matter if I died today. Because of what I have, that hope that is given me through Christ, through Jesus. And if he hadn't come to me, I would not have that hope. I would not have that peace. And I would not have that surety of being with God. Now this is the last thing I want to look at before we go to the communion table or sing any more songs. And it's that if Jesus hadn't come, I would not be able to approach God. Back in the Old Testament days, before Christ, there was only one person once a year who was able to go into the Holy of Holies, either in the tabernacle, which is the tent of meeting before the temple was built, or into the Holy of Holies of the temple. It's only the high priest who was able to go in there to approach God, as it were. And he had to go through so much ceremonial cleansing and putting on the robes and making sacrifices for his own sins before making sacrifice for the sins of the people. Yeah. And for him, it wasn't sure. I wouldn't have wanted to be a high priest, because what they used to do is tie a rope round his leg, that if he went to meet God and he had any sin on him, he would die. And that rope was to pull him out again if he had kicked the bucket in the Holy of Holies. Man, that would have frightened me. As soon as that rope keep being tied around my foot, nah. I wouldn't have liked that at all. But that's the only way that God could have been approached in those times. But it's all changed. It's all changed now because of Jesus. It says in Ephesians 3:12, it says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. When Christ went to that cross, he made that atoning sacrifice. He was that atoning sacrifice. He doesn't have to do it over and over again. He did it once and for all. Now, we can go to God because of him. We can go to God, our Heavenly Father, because Christ has made that atoning sacrifice on our behalf once and forever. That's it, done and dusted, if we believe on him. And we can now approach God in confidence and with freedom because of what he's done. Before I knew Jesus, I would call out sometimes, God, why aren't you helping me in this situation, even though it's of my own making? You know? But anyway, you're not going to listen to me. I had no confidence in approaching him. And I had no right to approach him. But Jesus has given me that right. He's given all of us that right to approach him. And this is what he says about how we should approach God. In the Sermon on the Mount, didn't he? He says, when you pray, he taught us to pray. When you pray, pray like this: Our Father. And that's how we can approach God today, because of Jesus, because of his atoning sacrifice. He's made it that God isn't far off. He's made it that there isn't this chasm between us, that sin put between us and God. Our sin put us far off from God, but the cross of Christ has brought us near. Jesus makes it possible for us to go into the Father's presence, for us to be able to approach him, for us to be able to ask of him. And God cares. And he loves us. And so we can. We can be confident that if we ask, whatever it is we ask for, will be given. If it is within his will, obviously. You know, we're not just going to go and name it and claim it. But if it's God's will, we can go and ask. We can approach him today. We don't have to be far off from him. And he doesn't want us to be. He delights in our prayers. He delights when we approach him. Think of your human father. Although they're not perfect. But most fathers are more than happy when their kids run up to them. Most fathers are happy to help their children. Most fathers are happy to love their children and be approachable to their children. And that's how God is with us. And without Jesus being made known to me, being real to me, I would never have known this. And I would never have approached God the way I do today. Jesus taught us when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, And that's what he is. So many things would be different if Jesus hadn't come. Our world might look a totally different place. I should imagine it'd be like living in the Dark Ages in some respect. And it still is in some places. I mean, what Colin said this morning. But if Jesus hadn't come, my life would be different. I wouldn't be here, for starters. I wouldn't be stood here with you, my brothers and sisters. We wouldn't be together if Jesus hadn't come to us in a real way. Many of us, you know. It's not like before Jesus, we would have all had stuff in common. You know? But that's what we have now. We have God in common. We have Jesus in common, which makes us, you know, more tightly knitted because we have that. Otherwise, we wouldn't necessarily be together all in this place at this time today if it wasn't for Jesus. The world would be a different place. The Jews were excited about his coming, although some of them missed it. Shepherds, the kings from the east, they came a long way because they were excited about his coming. The angels were excited about his coming. The heavenly hosts were excited about his coming, and they opened up in choruses of song. Simeon was excited about Jesus coming. When Jesus came to me, I was excited about his coming and still am. And the good thing is, although this happened 2,000 years ago, that he lived, died, rose again, and he's now ascended in heaven. He's coming again. To me, that's exciting. That's very exciting. When he comes, he's coming for me, and he's coming for you. And nothing is going to be the same. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain, no more hurt, no more misery for us. For those who know Jesus, there'll be none of that. There'll be this glorious inheritance that we'll have to share with him. That we will be able to spend eternity with God the Father and God the Son. That's exciting. And if Jesus hadn't come, none of these things would have been possible. Let me just read what Napoleon Bonaparte said about Jesus. He said this, he said, "You speak of Caesar, of Alexander, of their conquests, of the enthusiasm which they enkindled in the hearts of their soldiers. But can you conceive of a dead man making conquests with an army faithful and entirely devoted to his memory? My armies have forgotten me even while living, as the Carthaginian army forgot Hannibal. Such is our power. I know men, and I tell you, Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Christ founded his empire upon love, and at this hour millions would die for him. I search in vain history to find a similar to Jesus, or anything which can approach the gospel. Neither history, nor humanity, nor ages, nor nature offer me anything with which I am able to compare it to or explain it. Here, everything is extraordinary. That's Napoleon. Even he would recognize who Christ, who Jesus was and is, that without him, the world would be an entirely different place. And our worlds, on a personal level, would be an entirely different place. That's why I'm so thankful that Jesus did come. Because now, I can have more confidence. I've got more hope. I've got more peace. And that's because I believed in him who's able to give me those things. And I know that God has me in his hand because the testimony of the Holy Spirit that was given me